Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team.
La, 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 wait till I give my money right.
Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy, Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. Wednesday edition, crossover. We've got our guys, Bo and Alex from Locked On Cardinals. I'm recording live today on Wednesday, so I appreciate you guys waiting for this to get up. That was the best time that we could do it, so we recorded this morning. I am now putting it all together, final touches, little intro, and then we'll get running to the interview. Before we do, guys, a lot happened yesterday. Holy crap! We're going to get to that in just a second. Guys, don't forget to go give us a follow on social at LA_RamblingBear, at Locked On Rams on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook group. Shout us a holler. Let us know how we're doing. Leave a review, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, all that stuff. We do appreciate those reviews. Helps us kind of raise up in the rankings and get some more listeners. If you guys are new, thank you so much for joining us. 5 days a week, Rams content right here, only on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. Well, as I mentioned, a lot of crazy stuff happening yesterday, and we'll talk about it a little bit today. We'll talk about it over the next 2 days with Vinny and Serena, but Farrell Cooper was waived from the team yesterday. Initially, I was shocked. I thought that maybe he had done something to get in trouble, to get released like that. We didn't hear anything when he got released. There was no really story behind it. It was just he's released. And it was kind of a surprise because not long ago, well, last year, he was a Pro Bowl returner. This comes off of JoJo Natson fumbling the ball and a lot of people calling for him to be cut and maybe put Farrell back there. Obviously, we can tell that moving forward, they still have big faith in JoJo Natson. One play's not going to define him. As McVay said, two games aren't going to define him, so definitely not one play. But we had to make room for getting some depth at running back. The move was followed by another move, signing C.J. Anderson, a veteran running back, played with Denver for a long time. I think he played with Carolina for a little bit and even the Raiders this season before being released. But he's back in football. He's got a lot of experience. Played with Wade Phillips and Tlaib when he was in Denver. He also comes out of the backfield and catches the ball a lot. So he fits into the system as far as being not just a running back. He's got experience pass blocking, which I think is going to help out in some of those situations where we're not really sure what we have with John Kelly. But man, yesterday was crazy as far as moves happening. And, you know, Farrell Cooper's gone. I don't know how that's really going to play out long term, if another team's going to pick him up and that's the last we've ever seen of him, or if we can snag him, get him back onto the practice squad and maybe move him back onto the roster at some point. But a lot of people confused on why was it Farrell? Why wasn't it somebody else? We'll go deeper into that on another episode. We've got a great one today, though. I've got Bo and Alex from Locked On Cardinals. These guys are awesome. I picked their brain on Rosen, what we can expect. Larry Fitzgerald, Patrick Peterson. They've got a lot of big names, but not a lot of production. What are they going to do moving forward in this coming year? These guys are hilarious, them going back and forth on these topics, so stay tuned. Tomorrow, we got Vinny Bonsignor on the show. But you know what it is, Rams Nation. Until next time, peace. Enjoy my conversation with Bo and Alex.
It's a crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. Brad Bear Motter from Locked On Rams. Both of these teams are in ruts right now. One is temporary and one has been the last, you know, 7 or 8 games. I'll let you decide which one is which. Brad Bear Motter, what the hell is going on in L.A. with Jared Goff? He's one of the lowest-ranked quarterbacks over the last couple weeks. They've given up the most points in the NFL over the last 6 weeks. What is going on out there?
Oh, my goodness. If I had the answer to that, I'd be calling Sean McVay right now and telling him to get it together, because you're right. There's a little bit of hitting some panic buttons out here. You know, 2 losses in a row, both on prime time. I think we're just excited not to be on Sunday Night Football, which is kind of weird thought. You're typically, that's what you're looking for, but we haven't had so much luck. Jared Goff, that offensive line's been playing really poor. Our defense has been there at times, but they're still giving up points and a lot on the ground. So there's a lot of things to figure out, and you're right. These two teams both sliding, but you wouldn't expect that coming into the game. And I've talked about all week, I'm really hoping that this is kind of the confidence boost that we need, you know, moving forward. And, you know, as we look going down to Arizona, you guys, you know, a couple weeks ago went into Green Bay and fought really hard and got a win. Not so impressive last week in Atlanta. What type of team are the Rams coming down to see this week? Because we could use a win.
I mean, this is a decimated team. Morale is at an all-time low. This is going to be a get-right game. That's the theme of the Cardinals outside of the Green Bay Packers. I think a lot of people underestimated how big of a mess Green Bay was at the time. I mean, it ended up being the end of the Mike McCarthy era because they just didn't come ready to play, and somehow the Cardinals were able to pull that out. I don't expect Arizona to be in this contest much at all. I mean, it might be like it was in LA where they hung tough for about the first quarter, and once the second quarter began, it was all Rams from there, and that's kind of been the tone of the entire season. So I would expect this to be a very easy contest for the Rams to really get themselves back on track. I don't see any scenario where this patchwork offensive line made from, you know, being kept together from scotch tape and Elmer's glue is going to be able to match Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, the pass rush that the Rams feature, and then, of course, the secondary. I mean, they're covering guys that don't belong in the NFL outside of Larry Fitzgerald. So this is going to be an easy matchup for the Rams. There's really, I really, really, really don't want people to think that there is some sort of upset brewing here in the desert.
Yeah, this is a far cry from Minnesota going into Buffalo and getting caught with their pants down. I mean, this is what happened last week is what should have happened the week before in Green Bay. And we will see a trend where they lose by 26, I think, to Atlanta, 40-14. Is that the final score? It's going to be more here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to be, this is every time, as Bo said, everything Bo said is right. And the writing is on the wall, to use the cliche with the front office and the head coaching staff, that they don't know what the hell they're doing. And the first 15 plays of the game scripted great. They scored a touchdown on the first drive against the Chargers in L.A. They scored a touchdown on the first drive in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And then that was pretty much it for the rest of the game for both of those games. So this is going to be a problem. And especially if Todd Gurley plays and he wants to instill his dominance, this is by far the best running back they will see this year, because he's probably the best running back in the game. And it's going to be brutal. It's going to be brutal.
Well, you guys are allowed on the podcast anytime with that, with all those positive words. We need them right now out here where everyone's in panic mode. There's thoughts of, you know, what are we really going to do down in Arizona? Because right now what we've seen is, you know, a lackluster offense. And you talked about your patchwork up on the O-line and, you know, trying to hold against, you know, Sue and Donald. And we're sitting over here going, well, I would hope so, because all you have to, the game plan really is written on the wall. It's throw three or four guys at Aaron Donald and the rest of our line's really not going to do anything. So we're really hoping for a big game from, you know, the likes of Sue and Brockers and Fowler, all those other guys that need to step it up, because we've seen in the past couple weeks, if it's not Aaron Donald, it tends to be nobody right now. So I know they got a lot of pressure on them, and we talked about this on Locked On Rams as far as, you know, our next two games are, you know, Arizona Cardinals and then the 49ers. So the two bottom teams in the league, teams that you should sweep when you're, you know, have 11 wins and you've clinched the division a couple weeks ago. So it's going to be an interesting game in a weird way. Like you said, you expect a big blowout in a sense, and you've got a lot of fans that I don't think would typically, you know, watch this game as closely that are now just going to be glued to the TV and judging every moment, because I talked about it yesterday. I said, like, kind of like you're saying, is I think this is something that Jared Goff and this offense needs to go in and just kind of say, hey, let's throw the ball up. Let's go down the field. Let's make this team make plays and beat us, and not so worry about ourselves beating, you know, the Rams, because that's kind of what they've done in the last couple weeks. And you mentioned Larry Fitzgerald, and I got to get this out of the way, because I'm just curious on your thoughts of, you know, what he's done this season, and is this the last season? And do you think, if it is, should it have been a couple years ago? I mean, you feel good about where he's going out with the Cardinals?
You were so close, yeah, Brad. You're so close, Bear.
Look, I mean, Larry Fitzgerald told the show that Alex is on weekdays here on Fox Sports 910 Phoenix that, you know, the 8-8 season last year left a bitter taste in his mouth. What's this going to, a potential 3-win season going to leave? You know, his contract is up after this season. He'll be a free agent. There's always the possibility that the Cardinals can give him a very lucrative contract based on, you know, what his production has been. He's a Pro Bowl alternate. That might be just kind of a one of those nods to Larry
for
Fitzgerald.
Everything.
You know, his career kind of speaks for itself. 600 yards receiving, 6 touchdowns on the season. Just hasn't seen the targets from just Sam Bradford and Josh Rosen, who's been trying to acclimate to the NFL. Does he want to come back and maybe take some more lumps? I mean, he's certainly done it over the entire course of his 15-year career. I don't envision him going and signing anywhere else. I mean, Minnesota, that's always going to come up into the conversation. But as far as I think Larry Fitzgerald probably comes back next season. I don't think there's not as much conversation about it. It's been under the radar. We could have started this conversation weeks ago. It really hasn't been there. So I think all parties believe that Larry Fitzgerald's probably going to come back one more year and see if the Cardinals can just grasp a little bit, tap back into a little bit of where they were during the Bruce Arians heyday.
I don't want to tell Bo what I think, because Bo and I disagree as much as two people humanly possibly can. I think he will come back. I hope it's not with the Cardinals. And let me explain really quickly. He's paid his dues. He should get a Medal of Honor, a Medal of everything, Medal of Freedom, everything for staying with this team for as long as he has.
That's so soft.
What's soft?
I hate when the fan base is like, oh, I just want Larry Fitzgerald to go win a championship.
He doesn't.
I want him to go off somewhere else, anywhere. But he's like, no.
Yeah, so here's the thing. The reason why.
Here.
So here's. They've
overpaid him for years. I mean, they've paid him handsomely. It's not like he's suffering here.
Bo, you didn't let me finish.
Go ahead.
I think it would be detrimental to the progress of this team if they gave him $8, $9, or $10 million next year out of the big chunk that they have. Because you need to start planning for the future, and Larry Fitzgerald is not a part of this team's future. Correct?
He's still the face of the franchise. That still stands for a lot.
Steve Nash is the face of the franchise of the Suns. He hasn't played with the Suns for 10 years.
That's false.
And when you say Steve Nash, then the Lakers tried to pay him a bunch of money. So you can look both ways at who's going to be the next team that steps up and gives that $8 to $9 million, and are they really getting that money's worth? I think if I go long-term and I'm looking out on this, I think I'm with Alex on this in a sense of I'd like to see him go elsewhere. And I think this is coming from an outside observation as I'm like, he did justice down in Arizona, and I'd rather see him go chase a chip than be a part of a second-year building of Rosen and what maybe this transition is going to be with, you know, potential new coaches down there and how much money are they going to spend and how are they going to really get this up and running so fast that I can – you know, feel good. And I know Larry Fitzgerald doesn't worry about me feeling good about his sign-off, but I'd rather see him in the playoffs and kind of getting the kind of that Cal Ripken around the league clap that, you know, he deserves of, you know, visiting all the parks and, you know, kind of people giving him that send-off and hopefully with a deep playoff run. But, man, that's going to be a fun conversation to listen in with you guys, you know, moving forward and how that really goes. Because, like you said, it hasn't really come up a bunch. So kind of leaning towards him coming back. But a lot to dig into there. Guys, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. I got some more questions on the other side about Arizona and the future, obviously, through the draft and other things. So what we're going to do, take a quick break. But before we do, I want to talk to you. It's week 16. That's blowing my mind of the football season. And that means that you're running out of time to get in action. Every single game will matter with huge playoff implications at stakes. And I'm talking here for the Rams. Sorry, guys. But it can go a long way for you guys. Huge cash prizes in DraftKings. Single game fantasy football is the new way to do DraftKings fantasy football, the leader in one-day fantasy football. If you're thinking about trying DraftKings, now's the time. DraftKings has finally taken fantasy football from just 1 week to just one game. Makes it a lot easier to draft your lineup. All you have to do is draft 6 players from a single football game, 1 captain, and 5 other players. Just remember, your captain earns 1.5 times the points, so go for value. And if you look at the Rams here, you can go maybe Josh Reynolds, even though That's a struggle. Or you can go for the big points with Todd Gurley if he plays. So lots of different ways to play it. Guys, go to DraftKings.com or download the app. Me and the boys are going to kind of put together a league this week. So come join us. Battle us. All you got to do, minimum deposit of $5. Eligibility restriction applies. So check that out. And I look forward to doing that with you guys this week. Remember, that's DraftKings.com or the app. We'll be right back. We're going to step aside. Couple more words from some sponsors right after this. Rams Nation, listen up right now. This is your chance to win season tickets to the 2019 Rams season. We talked about this before, but Dave Robles is the man, the myth, and the legend. He's been a top-producing realtor in L.A. for over 20 years. I had a chance to talk to Dave. He's an awesome guy. He's from L.A., so he knows the city inside and out. He's a really strong negotiator who understands how to get you a good deal on a home or top dollar for your current home if you're selling. Remember, I told that story where he sold that house that was originally on the market for $800,000 for $850,000 and literally put $50,000 back into the client's pocket. This guy knows what he's doing, and he knows LA. He's got excellent Yelp and Zillow reviews, so check him out. Don't forget to visit his website, daverobles.com. That's daverobles.com. Or just call him. He's an awesome guy. 213-712-4343. Tell him that Bear Motter sent you from Locked On Rams, and guess what? He's going to get your Rams 2019 season tickets. If you're moving and you can't take the tickets, don't worry. He'll get you something of equal value. Call him for details. I'm telling you. Had a chance to talk to him. He's been killing it out here in LA. He knows the market top to bottom. He will get you top dollar for your home, or he'll get you into the home you need to be into. Actually, when I saw that season tickets were on the line, I might be moving myself, so come join me. Check out the website, daverobles.com, or call him, 213-712-4343, for your chances to win a 2019 Rams season tickets. All right, guys, we're back. We're talking Rams. We're talking Cardinals. We've got Bo, Alex, and Bear on the mic right now. A game that, you know, at the beginning of the season, we really didn't know how this thing was going to shake out. We had pretty good ideas, obviously, with you guys going and getting Rosen, and when was that transition going to happen? It kind of happened as much as I thought early on in the season. He struggled a little bit. He got pulled last week after a really poor start. Talk to me about where Rosen's at this point, and looking forward, how you think he's going to do with Arizona.
It's going to get tough. It's going to be nice reps for the young quarterback. He's going to go up against two teams that are really vying for some there's playoff implications on the line for both the Rams and the Seahawks. I mean, as we talked about, LA trying to get back on track. So for Rosen to start these next couple games, it's going to be paramount for him to really approach it as far as the preparation's concerned, going out there and trying to maybe right this ship that's really gone wrong during his rookie season. So Atlanta was a very big missed opportunity for Rosen to kind of put up some numbers and maybe have a signature start during his rookie season, because even in Green Bay, the win that we talked about in the first segment, it wasn't pretty. He did not perform well in that game. I think, what was he? Did he complete? Was it 9 passes in that game? It just wasn't. It wasn't something where you're like, oh, okay. There's the Cardinals went into Lambeau Field and they beat the Packers because Josh Rosen stepped up and showed his potential as the 10th overall pick. We've only seen a glimmer, just a sliver, of what Josh Rosen has as far as his potential is concerned. And when I say that, it's one quarter of play this entire season. Barry, it's the fourth quarter against the San Francisco 49ers. And that's just not enough. I mean, from what we've seen from the rest of the rookie class, as Alex laughed, it's comical because it's that sad.
Every time he brings it up, we talk about this every day pretty much.
Yeah.
Every time he brings it up, it reminds me of where we are.
Well, I mean, it's just when you watch the Bills play, Josh Allen just has that second
He looks
year.
Comfortable.
Well, he looks...
It looks as comfortable as a rookie quarterback can look.
I mean, he's got that other part of his game, mm-hmm. right? And
yeah.
Despite the Buffalo Bills not having, probably having equal talent as the Cardinals do at this point in the season, Josh Allen is still out there making plays, doing things where you come away from the game like, wow, that series, that sequence, that play, I love that about Josh Allen. I love that about Lamar Jackson. I love that about Baker Mayfield. I love what Sam Darnold did in a losing effort against the Houston Texans. We don't have that week in and week out from Josh Rosen. We really have to grade on a curve, and the sample size is a lot smaller. It's just like a 15-yard throw here.
Mm-hmm. And what the amount of time we've seen him on the field should have yielded more than three or four great things. It was a 75-yard touchdown pass to start the game in San Francisco. Great. Christian Kirk's faster than the outside's DB. Josh Rosen put it on the money. Touchdown. Cool. We thought, okay, great. That's the beginning of something great. These guys are going to be awesome. And we've seen flashes. But Bo's right. The biggest, culmination, the conglomerate of plays that were linked back-to-back is the fourth quarter against San Francisco in a comeback win. And he has been on the field too much to see so little from him. So, and Bo and I, and we're not going to do this. Go ahead.
With our guy Brad here on the phone, it's a good opportunity for us to tap into, although Jared Goff is struggling over the last couple of games, I mean, you watch firsthand Goff's rookie season, yeah, where a lot of people came away with not a lot. I mean, so many people were calling him a bust. I mean, it's very similar to what's going on here with Josh Rosen. And that's why this offseason is paramount, man. I mean, they have to make the right decisions as far as the decision makers are concerned, your front office, your GM, who's going to be your head coach, who's going to be the offensive coordinator, who could potentially walk hand in hand with Josh Rosen, much like Sean McVay with Jared Goff, and take him to a level that people have already put out of the question, out of the conversation. So go ahead. I mean, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you nailed it in a sense, because I was kind of, as you guys were talking, I was like, man, I had a lot of those frustrations early on too. It was kind of trying to find something to get excited about in the opportunity. And Jared Goff, in a sense, you know, he got the last seven games of his rookie season. Four of those were with, you know, a special teams coach as a head coach, and just a lot of turnover, a lot of mess when he was doing that. But yeah, you're right. Right away, you know, stereotyped a bust, and then all of a sudden Sean McVay comes in, gets back to more of the rhythm of, you know, the style that he needs, and he starts to excel in the second year. Also, it really helped in his first year, Todd Gurley. That's probably one of his worst years as a Ram as far as production goes. And you look over at David Johnson, 843 yards this year, seven touchdowns. I mean, he's kind of picked it up a little bit, but I mean, fantasy owners are sitting there screaming at the podcast right now, going, no, he hasn't. You know, I mean, they struggled to get production. And I think that really, for a young guy, that's important, right? To have a guy that you thought coming into the season you could lean on as far as, okay, let's hand the ball off 20, 25 times, work some play action, let this guy, you know, find a couple targets, and then pass Larry Fitzgerald, who only put up, you know, just over 600 yards right now. He doesn't have a lot of targets to throw to. So you talk about the offseason, you know, who can you bring in to really help Josh Rosen and fit with his personality? Because, you know, I don't know too much, but just from the draft process and hearing some of the stuff is, you know, he's probably, you know, he's a very competitive guy. So you got to find a good personality that can work with him and find a good way to get the best out of him, but then add a couple guys. Cause right now you got, you know, Gresham as the tight end, and you know, you need a couple more targets that he can look to, you know, to have that safety net. And I just don't think he has that with a, you know, aging Larry Fitzgerald. And then past that, I couldn't name a wide receiver on your team right now. I mean, it just kind of falls off pretty quick as far as options for him. So he's going to need some help. So the offseason is going to be big for you guys, not only through the draft, but trying to get some free agency. And as we kind of talk about that, we might as well hit all the big names here for you guys, because earlier this season, Patrick Peterson basically said, I want out. And then it was like maybe a couple days later, he's like, no, nah, I'm kidding. I want to go all the way to the end. I want my career to end here. He gets his eighth Pro Bowl, correct me if I'm wrong. And but, you know, what does that mean with him moving forward? Is he all in at this point, or do you still see that maybe the Cardinals will try to make a move and get something for him, or what's going on with that side of the ball?
Bear, here's the thing. You're triggering every conversation that Bo and I have when we have big arguments. You're three for three. So what I think is, and what I thought, it's kind of waned a little bit since the original smack in the face, where it really came out of nowhere that it was leaked that he wanted out. And I said, get rid of him then. See how, as much as you can get rid of him. It's not something that'll help you in the future if you have a guy that's pissed off that's one of your stars. It just isn't. It's never proven to be. So what I think if they can get a first rounder for him in this year's draft, I would make that move before draft day. I don't want to do anything for more in the future. If they could, because they have, Bo, you said 65 mil around in salary cap space, correct?
Yeah, already. I mean, but once they start
getting people off the books,
getting rid of guys like Gresham and Bethea, once you see some veteran contracts leave, it's going to be closer,
To 80?
Upwards of 80 million.
So you have $75 million to spend in this offseason, and you have at least one top three pick, depending on what you want to do with that. If you can get another first-round pick in this draft, that's what a rebuild is, and that's like a perfect storm for money getting right, getting all these picks in one draft, seeing what can you make of them to move forward. I would do that. Otherwise, you hang on to him for the entirety of his deal, and hopefully he wants to stay and doesn't become a problem in the locker room.
That's loony. So what we're talking about here, Brad, is we're going to let Larry Fitzgerald walk, and then we're going to trade away our shutdown corner that's made 8 consecutive Pro Bowls to start his career. And then we're going to trade him for a first-round pick, and we're going to expect... So say they take a corner with that pick.
Mm-hmm.
Is he as good as Patrick Peterson?
Nobody makes less money.
Oh, well, what's that? They've got ample cap space. They've got close to $80 million. He's already in a decent deal. If you go back and you renegotiate with him and you pay him now and you make him a top two corner in this league, you're fine. You're not paying the price for that. You've got a shutdown corner. If you're able to expedite this rebuild, then you already have one of the tougher positions to fill in the NFL, and that's shutdown corner. Doesn't make sense to me to get rid of Patrick Peterson, especially if we're talking about Larry Fitzgerald walking out that door. Now you're left with David Johnson as your star power.
Do you think Larry Fitzgerald is Patrick Peterson has way more of an impact on the game than Larry Fitzgerald does right now?
But I'm talking about his optics for a franchise. You need to have a face of the franchise.
The worst thing about this franchise is the optics.
So you're just going to let your stars walk? Is that's what your idea?
One doesn't want to be here. It's completely different situations.
That's not true. Okay.
What? So you believe that he's like, oh, just kidding, guys?
No, the team sucks.
Exactly.
Nobody's happy.
So he says, trade me. That's what a real leader does. Get me out of here when it starts getting bad.
He's posturing for more money because he sees that the Cardinals have a ton of money. He's behind Tremaine Johnson as far as the pay scale in the NFL.
He already got a big deal.
But
it's 5 years later.
He's got one more left.
This is good stuff, and I'll kind of put my two cents in here because you're right. If you start to let Patrick Peterson walk or trade him, I'm with you. I think a first-round pick is where you have to draw the line. You got to get something of value to let your best player walk. But then you start looking over and how much criticism we all gave the Oakland Raiders for letting all their big guys go, for trading away Khalil Mack, even though that money was going to get crazy, we get it. But then their best offensive weapon, and you kind of brought that up with saying, even though he's on, the very end of his career, Larry Fitzgerald's still the best offensive weapon you guys have right now. So, yeah, if you have this offseason and lose Larry Fitzgerald and Patrick Peterson, you're starting to lose probably a little bit of, hope within the fan base as well, and you're still trying to sell tickets. So I think Patrick Peterson does that for you still as far as getting the excitement to bring some people in. And if you can make some of those splashes with that money that you guys talked about, all of a sudden you guys go, okay, well, we've got our star cornerback, and we just added a linebacker, and now we've got another wide receiver, and people start to see that vision of a team coming together. Oh, we got the young quarterback who's going to, we're going to parlay him with a new coordinator or whatever it may be, and you can start to kind of build some momentum back in this division. But if you hit the full reset button right now, it's almost like going back to, square one as far as drafting mentally and, the product you put out. So Patrick Peterson, I think you're right as far as he knows what he's doing. He said he wanted out. His agent goes, dude, we can make some money. Look at their payroll right now. Stay here, make your money, or we can get out at a certain point in a couple years and still do this. So fight through it. And I'm with you. I've never been big on the I want out of here, and then 2 days later come back and be like, you know what, I'm good to go. And you're like, well, what? No, you're not. Don't lie to me. Or what's going on here? So I can feel both sides of this equation. But as far as, the future of where you guys go, it's going to be interesting. There's a lot of storylines in the offseason. And that's why I love the NFL draft. And it starts to get even more exciting. A few years ago, I was not really into the draft. But now with a lot of the movement that's gone on and free agency's really picked up and people are kind of starting to get into almost like that basketball style of free agency and big dollars and trades and all that. So it makes it interesting. And we've seen teams go from the bottom of the barrel all the way to the top. I mean, the Rams a couple years ago had 4 wins, and here we are back-to-back NFC champions. So it doesn't take long in the NFL if you can do it right.
Yep. That voice is Brad Bear Motter, Locked On Rams, Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. On the other side, I'm going to ask Bear Motter if Wade Phillips' job is in jeopardy. That's next on the Crossover Wednesday edition of Locked On Podcast Network. All right, wrap it up here. Alex Flanty, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. Brad Bear Motter, Locked On Rams. So the Los Angeles Rams have given up the most points in the NFL over the last 6 games. I believe it's 188, which would equate to over 31 a game, if my math serves me correctly. Have there been rumblings in the city of Los Angeles about Wade Phillips and if his defense is finally, you know, if the clock has struck midnight?
Yeah, we're about there right now. We talked about that a little bit on the last couple of podcasts and saying, you know, someone's got to take ownership for this. And you start to, you know, chirp at the players. And then you're like, well, no one seems to be in a position. There's times where we see a lot of missed tackles. But when a running back gets into that second level, it's just open running. And it's like, you know, I know Wade is a 3-4 guy, but the guys that we've kind of accumulated, you know, will our system be better in a 4-3? Should we mix it up from time to time? I think what gave him a lot of leeway was early in the season. Our defense struggled in the first half, but when we hit the second half, he was almost like Mr. Halftime Adjustment. He would go in there, he'd, you know, fix it up, tighten everything up, and we'd come out. We'd play great ball in the second half, and we still are kind of doing that. But at the end of the day, our offense was bailing us out, so it wasn't that big of a deal. It was always like, oh, we gave up 25 points and our defense looked bad, but hey, look at our offense, man. Jared Goff threw for 500 yards. Oh, and you kind of get distracted because we're winning ball games and our offense was going crazy. Now our offense is sputtering, and it kind of brings that light to the defense because it's like, well, crap, now we can't even, our defense still sucks. So what's going on here? And you're right. You're starting to turn on where does this go and how high up do you go to kind of, you know, pin it to the ponies, as you say. So I think it definitely, Wade is, I don't want to say in jeopardy, because I think they've built something so great with him and Sean McVay, and the ownership seems to love everything that's going on. But if there's an early exit and it's at the hands of the defense with an ugly performance, I mean, you never know. Like we just talked about, this is NFL football. Lots of changes happen. He's getting a little bit older. We're still curious about how much longer he wants to do it. But at the same time, he comes in. He's an amazing guy as far as in his press conferences. He's hilarious. I think he's still enjoying doing it. So I'd like to see him stick around because I think it's really, you know, some of our guys and getting like Ndamukong Suh, just a big disappointment so far. You talked about money coming off the books. He's on a 1-year deal. I think he's going to go chase money elsewhere. And it kind of is kind of that scratch to do it over and give Wade some other opportunities. But I'd love to see a little bit more adjustments, and that's from both sides of the ball. McVay on the offense, we come out in this 11 personnel about 95% of the time. It's been getting shut down the last couple weeks. Obviously, we haven't been using Todd Gurley as much, and now he's banged up. But you got to adjust to what they're doing. Everyone knows at this point in the season what to expect with the offense and defense. So you got to send some more blitzes if you're Wade, or you know, get outside of that 11 personnel if you're McVay. I know it got us here, and stay steady with it, but mix in some stuff, because right now the league is starting to figure out both sides of the ball, and Wade, you're right, is one of those guys that wasn't on a hot seat a couple weeks ago, but as the defense has performed lately and our offense let us down, his name's starting to float out there as far as complaint forms, I guess you could say.
Any other complaints coming out of there? I mean, right when there's, you know, 2 losses in a row where there starts to be a little bit of a sputter somewhere, there is, hey, maybe this guy should get some more reps. Like, one name that came out to me was Gerald Everett. His name came on at least the fantasy football scene mid-season last season, where it's like this guy, if in the right situation, could be, you know, a Julius Thomas type. And we saw that on, you know, when there was 105 points scored in their win over Kansas City, where he had a couple touchdowns, and then not much since. He had a couple catches late in garbage time last week.
But he needs to learn to get out of bounds.
He definitely needs to learn to get out of bounds.
Yeah,
that's 100%. What's the deal with him? And do people around LA see, is this another mouth to feed that could help this team win?
Well, everyone's just really missing Cooper Kupp. And, you know, you're trying to think of this three-headed monster that we had with Woods, Cooks and Kupp, and that was what was really incredible. I think I saw a stat that said our third down efficiency was at like 45% with Kupp, and then without Kupp, it's down to like 32% over those last handful of games. He was kind of our go-to third down guy. I think teams are playing man on the outside and pressing Woods and Brandon Cooks and saying, someone else has got to beat you. And we've had Josh Reynolds has had some production earlier in the season. And like you mentioned, that KC game had really big game. But ever since he's kind of stepped into that third role here, Jared Goff went to him. He had the second most targets last game. And thankfully in the second half, finally got some numbers to make it look decent. But in the first half, I think he had like 7 targets and 1 catch for 6 yards. And he kept going to him because he's going to be open because everyone else is saying, we're going to make everyone else beat you. And we've seen where he can do it. He's got great size. He's got pretty good hands. It's just, I don't know if he's got the route running to be that slot or even when we move him on the outside, if he's ready for that. So it's been a little bit of a disappointment last couple games for that, but it also comes from our offensive line. I mean, they've played the worst football in the last 3 games that they played all season. Andrew Whitworth is jumping off sides like crazy in the last couple games. A lot of mental errors. Sullivan is starting to show that he's kind of hitting the empty gas tank at this point, and especially in the later half in his career. I mean, there were multiple times where he just got plowed over last Sunday night. And when you're getting that pressure on Jared Goff, he's not the most mobile guy. He can slide in the pocket, and he's done well earlier in the season under a little bit of pressure. But these last few games, he started to look nervous. He's not having that confidence. His feet are moving. So as the offensive line has really gone down, so has Jared Goff's performance. But it really comes to that third target, and whether that's, you know, we've got 2 tight ends that can do it with Everett and Higbee. They need to step up, and then Josh Reynolds needs to take some of this off those guys, because we're not going to go deep in the playoffs with 2 wide receivers who are great and both have over 1,000 yards, but the whole reason we got there was because we had 3 options that you really didn't know where we were going, and then we threw in Todd Gurley, who we were actually giving the ball to at that point, and it was like, okay, we can stop 2 of these guys, but the other 2 guys are going to go off. And it was really hard to pick your poison. Now it's like, all right, let's take away these 2 options. They don't really have anything after that that's been super productive. And we're just going to figure out a way to stop Todd Gurley, make them go away from running the football. I mean, we had 10 rushes in the first half, and then we finished with 2 in the second half to Todd Gurley. So game plan switched. I know we got down at a certain point, but McVay tends to go to the pass at a certain point. So there's a lot of room for improvement, and there's been a lot of complaint forms rolling around. I think our offensive line is one. That secondary option outside of the 2 wide receivers, and then just giving the ball to Todd Gurley more.
Brad, last question for you. Give me your prediction for Sunday in this barn burner of a game that I'm sure we'll see.
Oh, man, I've been sticking to, like, saying 30 points or more, and the Rams have really let me down the last couple weeks, but I can't see it happening again, and I said that last game, but I'm going to have to say 34, and let's go 17. I think you guys are going to do what you've done in the past, put up a couple early points, and then just your offense is going to check out about the second quarter, and that's when the Rams are able to kind of continue on putting up points, and I think maybe a late Rosen interception when they're pushing it down the field, trying to make something happen. Our defense hopefully can get that and go in for 6 and help out some fantasy people out there. But I've got 34-17. But then again, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like 26-23 and the Rams win by a field goal, because they're just playing with not a lot of confidence right now. It's on the road in the NFL. I know it's still in the division. These guys are playing upset football, but I've got 34-17, but wouldn't be surprised if it was close.
Last 3 games between these 2 teams, the Rams have gone over 30 points, Brad. I think that they continue that trend, make it 4 in a row. Will it be another shutout? Man, I hope not, for our sake, watching this game Sunday afternoon from the press box. But yeah, remember the 33-0 international incident, and then you had a 32-16 win last December, and then most recently you had week 2 of the NFL season, way back when Sam Bradford was still the quarterback of this game.
I miss him.
34-0. It's not going to get much better. I'm going to say that the Rams get right. Do they even need Greg the Leg? Maybe for some PATs. 35-7, Rams won this easily.
100-0. I'm done making predictions.
Man, you got the Cardinals winning that, running away?
100-0. No, I think that this is going to be – and one question I didn't get to ask you, but I'm assuming the answer is obvious. If I see that the Rams getting up big here and maybe sitting Goff and some of their starters in the fourth quarter,
So I'll say 34-10 final.
All right. I would love to see some starters. That would be great. We can get a couple new guys. C.J. Anderson could get some reps in there and running back, and Sean Mannion maybe get a few. But we'll see how this one turns out. It's always awesome talking to you guys. I appreciate taking the time. Don't forget to go give us a follow at Locked On Rams. I'm at LA_RamblingBear on Twitter. How about you guys? And then we'll say goodbye.
I'm at Clancy's Corner and at Locked On AZ Cards.
Then follow me at Bob Brack. Easiest way to find it on Twitter for all your Cardinals hot takes or lowlights.
Do you hear just we're defeated here, Brad? We're defeated. But thank you for joining us, man. This has been another fun one on the Crossover Wednesday. We'll check you soon. All right, man.
All right. Take it easy.
Thanks, man.
You can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Let up the suicide doors.